Pay or play extender is Cola, not Olay. It's anti that you want, not anti. When the clue is pay to play. Well, you can edit out, add it on your IBM. Hula on Maui with Tiny Tim. But if you don't come across, I'm gonna beat down. If you don't come across, I'm gonna beat down. If you don't come across, I'm gonna beat down. Your love to me is a mystery, and clues are all around. If you don't come across, I'm gonna beat down. Well, it's Estee, not Estes, if you want the cosmetics queen. Alice Hardy is a Johnson, seen on the TV screen. Blue is a John on the British Isle. Ryan and Co. and Ovette and Bannister and Mary Decker Slaney all ran the mile. If you don't come across, I'm gonna beat down. If you don't come across, I'm gonna beat down. If you don't come across, I'm gonna beat down. Your love to me is a mystery, and the clues are all around. If you don't come across, I'm gonna beat down. Well, you're an easy fill on Mondays, but when the weekends come, your themeless open spaces make me feel so dumb. Triple stack, quadruple stacks, absurdity. Pop culture and obscurity. If you don't come across, I'm gonna beat down. Everybody sing. If you don't come across, I'm gonna beat down. If you don't come across, I'm gonna beat down. Your love to me is a mystery, and the clues are all around. If you don't come across, if you don't come across, if you don't come across, I'm gonna beat down.
He says he's only here because there are no crosswords in the Winter Olympics. Welcome, Bruce Wright.
Morning. How are you?
Cross.
Well, I have to say, it really is great to be here with all my fellow PhDs. Puzzle happy delegates. Or if you prefer, pretty hasty deducers. Pretty hasty. Now, is it just me, or does anyone else find it strange that we use the word pretty to modify an adjective? As in, he's a pretty good acrobat. Or, ooh, that's a pretty badly broken leg. And yes, we are referring to the same person here. But just to illustrate how ridiculous this usage is, try substituting a synonym for the word pretty in its place. Wow, that's a beautiful ugly sweater he's wearing. I have an attractive, important exam today. Or, that was a good-looking, stupid thing to say. Yeah, when you put it like that, there's really nothing pretty about it. Now, I think it's safe to say that we're all gathered here today because we share a common passion for one thing, and that would be? Crosswords? I was going to say hotel coffee, but have it your way. But I think to enjoy crosswords, it really helps if you have a love of the English language. And the English language is a beautiful thing, not least because it boasts a wide variety of colorful expressions. But you have to admit, some of these expressions just don't make a lot of sense. Like, for instance, three sheets to the wind. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm coming home after a night out that maybe had a couple too many, putting me just the wrong side of tipsy, trust me, the last thing on my mind is laundry. I mean, in that state, never mind how clean the bedding is, you're lucky if you can find the bed. Or here's another one. That really gets my goat. Okay, quick poll. Hands up, anyone here who owns a goat? Okay, we have one gentleman. No. I rest my case. Now, how about this one? Now, let's say I have a lot of cereal in my cupboard. Maybe I even have more cereal than I need. But why, I ask you, would I want to shake a stick at it? I mean, who's ever had so much of something that they felt the need to go outside, find the stick, and shake it? I mean, what kind of bizarre inventory voodoo is this? Maybe this is how the game of baseball was invented. See that guy over there? He's got a lot of balls. Yeah, in fact, he's got way too much balls. Here, hand me that big stick. But there is one expression that I think makes perfect sense. To handle it with kid gloves. Now this is so true. And take my advice. If any of you are thinking of having kids, go out and get yourself a pair of kid gloves. Because those things are filthy. Now, I think all of us here enjoy doing crossword puzzles. But I found that there's more fun to be had beyond what appears at face value. Sometimes when doing a crossword, I'll see two words that are either adjacent or that intersect. And when combined, the result is a whole new and amusing association. Now, I like to call these pairs of words chance meanings. And I brought a few examples along to share with you, if I may. Okay, here goes. Rat's Atlas. Now, either that's an expression of just how little you care, or it's a tiny book filled with maps of sewers and alleyways. Specific oaf. But not just any oaf will do. Idi Amin. The despotic leader of the revival tent. Hi-Fi Hamlet. Or the melancholy Denon. That's for all you audiophiles. Agua Ague. What happens when you take a cold shower in Tijuana? Cobra Wars, a movie featuring Luke Snake Charmer. Oreo Oleo. Now, depending on your age, that's either the best thing you've ever heard of, spread on toast, or the worst. Separation Bra. This one has a double meaning. Tadpole Gabfest. There's really nothing I need to add to that. Yeti Cola, popular drink in the Himalayas. So-so Ocelot, not a great ocelot. Baby Wax, because hey, who doesn't want to have a shiny baby? Accurate Yak. Now there's an animal that you don't want to stand behind. Seedless Has-Beens. These are grapes that you only eat after they're washed up. And finally, Ogle Ogre. Now that's either a description of a creep, or I'm sorry to say, somebody has a thing for ogres. You've been a beautiful, amazing audience. Thank you very much.
Award-winning lyricist. She was the subject of an article in Time magazine last year. So here to sing A Way With Words, written with and accompanied by composer and last year's winner of the E Division, Ryan Simmet. Please welcome Amanda Yesenowitz.
Ken song last year. would write and sing a song about Kaidoku. I'm kidding. There aren't any songs about Kaidoku. There shouldn't be any songs about it. So, this is Brian Simmons at the piano. And many of you may know Brian. He's the taller half of Ryan and Brian. And the only thing I want to say about this song is that we wrote this song, Brian wrote the music and I wrote the lyrics, and we wrote this song before Will asked me to sing something today. So just keep that in mind. This was written before I knew I was going to be performing this. I love glorious, uproarious, notorious words. Wouldn't that be natural for someone like me? A dame whose name goes literally from A to Z. Some gals like reading Cosmo or Glamour, but I get brushed up on my rules of grammar. Siegfried had a way with tigers. Darwin had a way with birds. What can I say? I have a way with words. I'm for verbs. I'm pronouns. I love sentimental sentences with sibilant sounds. I love crafty crossword puzzles much more than sports. I love the vowel to consonant ratio in the name Will Shore. 2 to 8. Some girls need thick mascara and lipstick, but I get pretty by solving a cryptic. Tyra has a way with models. Mensa has a way with nerds. What can I say? I have a way with words. Ooh, is it language compelling? Ooh, is it syntax romantic? Ooh, aren't Orwell and Chomsky hypnotic? True, I get weak over spelling. True, I'm a wee bit pedantic. But who wouldn't find a nice pair of homonyms? Oh, so homoerotic. I love puns. I love quips. I love feeling those phonetics as they pass through my lips. Really big dictionaries fill me with glee. Oedipus would just be Ippus without the O-E-D. I take to a tongue like a babe to a nipple. I'm Gaga for Gershwin and Zaza for Zippel. Moses had a way with people. Noah had a way with herds. What can I say? Don't call me sweetheart and don't call me spondy. Speak to me softly in trochee and spondy. Miss Piggy had her way with Kermit. Miss Muffet had her way with Kurt. What can I say? I have a way with 3 times a day. I like to play with just like crochet. I have a way with words.
Yesnowitz and Brian Simmet. And Amanda, you perform here in New York City. Both of you perform in New York. Yeah. All right, our next performer is the author of the Puzzle Lady crossword mysteries. He wrote the screenplay for the movie Chud. As an actor, he appears in Arnold Schwarzenegger's first movie, Hercules in New York, clad in a leopard skin. And here to perform is Parnell Hall.
That's a tough act to follow. My song is called The Sunday Morning Seventh Puzzle Fear of Fourth Place Blues. And I don't actually have this blues. In order for me to make the finals, 557 people would have to have done very badly on the seventh puzzle. I remember the first time I came here, the very first puzzle was really easy. I'm flying through it. I got halfway done. I looked up and the room was empty. Out of 254 people, I came in 250th, just ahead of the four people who failed to turn in the paper. But I'm here for research. As Will said, I write the Puzzle Lady Crossword Puzzle Mysteries. The latest out this month is the Puzzle Lady versus the Sudoku Lady, the battle of the century, and it's on sale at Amazon.com now. But anyway, I'm going to try to do this song, and if I don't make the finals, you'll know why. Seventh puzzle Sunday morning, the big clock is ticking down. I'm sitting at the table, my brow creased in a frown. I could make the finals, be a person of renown. What the hell is 14 down? This is the type of puzzle that makes me wanna kill. I swear someone created it by using autofill. I've got graduate degrees from Harvard, Yale, and Brown. What the hell is 14 now? The speed of some contestants can come as quite a shock. Tripaniel done before they even started the clock. Tripp's a fierce competitor, he really hates to lose. I swear he writes the answers down without reading the clues. They're getting younger every year, it really gets my goat. If Tyler wins four more times, he'll be old enough to vote. When I was his age, I barely knew a verb from a noun. What the hell is 14 down? Half of the contestants are already on their breaks. I can hear John Delphin out there playing the piano, for Christ's sake. He's playing Bach, Beethoven, and Sweet Georgia Brown. What the hell is 14 down? Never have I ever solved a puzzle quite so slow. The Iceman's already coming, then I'm waiting for Godot. Does Doug really need another jewel in his crown? What the hell is 14 now? I'd sell my soul to the devil if I thought it would do any good. And if there were any way to contact him, believe me, I would. But pacts with the devil can no longer be done. Hell's been frozen over since Ellen Ripstein won. I hope by now that I would be in the happy position, listening to Will Short's puzzle segment on Weekend Edition. Not sitting here frustrated, feeling like a clown. What the hell is 14 down? There's almost no one left now, just a few women and men. Some doing Sudoku and some doing Ken-Ken. Looks like I'll be sitting here when the judges come around. What the hell is 14 down? What the hell is 14 down? For my first encore. No, a lot of people, when they find out that I write crossword puzzle murder mysteries, they say, how in the world do you do that? Because to them, writing a murder mystery is as foreign as solving the Saturday puzzle before Monday is for me. So I wrote a song to explain how that happens. The only problem is, the song that I wrote is rather complicated and would be difficult even for a competent singer. So it may require a little starting and stopping, going back over certain verses, trying things again. But anyway, this is how I do it. If you want to write a mystery, be it hard-boiled or a cozy, about a young man with a gun or an old woman that's nosy, you gotta kill somebody. You just have to, and that's whether your hero is some macho dick or a little old lady with cats. You got to grab them, nab them, slash them, stab them, take them to the morgue and slab them, strangle them and mangle them, and hit them on the head. You've got to slice them, dice them, oh how nice. Poke their eyes out once or twice, slip them a dose of arsenic, and make sure that they're dead. See what I mean? Oh no, you say I couldn't do that, I wouldn't hurt a fly. But if you want to write a mystery, someone had better die. And if you want the book to sell, you better make it gruesome. If there isn't that much blood, you better kill a twosome. You've got to snag 'em, bag 'em, tie 'em, gag 'em, hitch 'em to a car and drag 'em, shoot 'em with the arrow poison from a South American tribe. Gotta shoot 'em with a blowgun dart or stab 'em gently in the heart. Just be careful to make sure that all the details jive. And if you do it right, and your agent sells the book, you heave a huge sigh of relief that you are off the hook. But before the contract's even signed, the editor calls you. We want a serious character. Please start on number two. Oh no, you've got to bash 'em, mash 'em, really smash 'em. Put 'em in a car and crash 'em. You can make it happen if you tamper with the brakes. You gotta strangle 'em with piano wire. Burn 'em up in a hotel fire or let 'em perish naturally in floods or in earthquakes. And now you're on the 14th book, ideas are wearing thin. You need a little help to get out of the fix you're in. Gets harder and harder to come up with something new. You need new ways of killing and new murder victims too. You got to kill the kids and dad and mommy. Grind them up for hard salami. Butcher them and skewer them. Roast them on a spit. You've got to pan fry them and then parboil them. Shake them back and boil in oil and put them through a Cuisinart till they taste like very bad hamburger. Yeah, I know, doesn't rhyme and it doesn't span. Unfortunately, that portion of the song was improved on by a copy editor. To whop 'em, bop 'em, you can stop 'em. Line 'em in your sights and pop 'em, burn 'em, drown 'em, poison 'em, and shoot 'em in the head. You've got to smash their head under a rock. Give 'em an electric shock or blow 'em up with dynamite and make sure that they're dead. And make sure that they're dead.
That's Parnell Hall. Get us a puzzle lady in history. Is somebody that you all know from Puzzle 7 this morning. He's a syndicated crossword constructor in 6,000 newspapers around the country, the Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, Philadelphia Inquirer, New York Observer, and lots of other papers. And here with some games and wordplay, Merle Regal.
I know what CHUD stands for. Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers. Never used in a puzzle book. Well, I just thought I'd do a couple of pun things and a couple of anagram things. Big surprise. I'll do the puns first, because more people can do puns than they can do anagrams, so. And I'll have to read, with 600 people in the room, I'm going to have to kind of read these Shatner-esque, you know, with pauses and... an example of this would be like what I did for the New York Times puzzle when the Simpsons movie came out, Simpsons episode came out. So it'll be things like, what famous golfer invented the all-plastic club? And the answer is Arnold Palmer. So if you know, you just raise your hand, you know, and I'll call on you. Or, you know, the only actress who puts up her own posters, Maureen Staple Gun. Got it? All right. The first one is, who wrote the trilogy, Rabbit Run, Rabbit Redux, and the Bugs Bunny story? Just John Updock will do. We'll get to the longer versions later. Okay, John Updock wrote them, right? He also wrote What's Another Thing. Two, I won't get to the end of this one, so if you just raise your hand as soon as you know. What longtime Cuban leader can really hit the high notes? Why don't you say it all together then? Fidel Castro. Fidel Castro, that's right. What 19th century British poet was known for constantly asking people to hit a few balls with it? Anybody? Yes? Not Longfellow, no? Alfred Lord Tennis, anyone, is right. He also wrote Idylls of the King. Bullshit. Okay. Who was the most aloof and antisocial member of the Plymouth Colony?
Miles Standoffish.
Yes. Miles Standoffish is correct. Who wrote, Ouch, Pioneers? Yes. Yes, but in back. Willa Cather is coming to a crossword near you. In fact, that's the subtitle of every one of these. What famous general lost the first really serious pie fight? Yes. George Armstrong Custard is correct. That's where we get the word custardy battle, by the way. That's what it says. This is a three-parter. Who wrote the rotting carcass of, and I'll just spell the last part. Who wrote the rotting carcass of M-O-B-Y? Yes, in the back.
Smellville.
Herman Smellville is correct. Part two of the same stupid question. Who wrote the underground version of Moby Dick? Yes. Wellville? No. Yes. Moleville, yes. Herman Moleville wrote the underground version. And who wrote the Moby Dick Cantaloupe Cookbook? Herman Mellonville is correct. Okay, now these are the anagrams. I'll try to make these as easy as possible so you can get them. Same deal, last name, anagrams. Okay? Who wrote vague, drug-induced remembrance of things past? Marcel Stuper is correct. Who wrote the Alpine Adventures of Sherlock Holmes? Sir Arthur Conan Doyle is correct. Where we get Heidi Ho from, too. Most people don't know this. What India-born, and by that I mean born in India, what India-born mind-body author likes to have his veggie burgers delivered by girls on roller skates? Deepak Karhoff is correct. What former late night host is a lot skinnier now?
Bonier.
Yes, Conan Bonier. I don't think that's even possible, is it? Bank account's a lot tighter, though. Who wrote The Return of the Native with Nine Heads? That was Heidegger, of course. What author of Ivanhoe never shaves his lower extremities? I mean his much lower extremities. Sir Walter... Leg hair. I mean the other guy. Yeah, Sir Walter Scott wrote that. I was mixing him with the other guy that put his thing down in the puddle and got famous for that. Just throw it away. What guy who laid his thing in the puddle and didn't shave his extremities? This is a first name one, so shift gears a little bit. This is a first name gag. What American patriot said, liberty is one of my three goals?
Patrick
Henry is correct. Patrick Henry, one of my three goals. Oh, I forgot to give you the category. All right, this is miscellaneous pun. Miscellaneous pun. In Roman myth, what two lovers commit suicide, the boy by using his own sword and the girl by being tossed around and caught by dogs in a city park? Pyramus and Frisbee is correct. I think that's all of them. That's it. Thank you. Stand-up comedy at places like Comic Strip Live and Gotham Comedy Club. She says she's a rabid baseball fan. She received the Best Humor Blog Award from MajorLeagueBaseball.com. She considers herself the Tyler Hinman of Duck Duck Goose. Please welcome Diane Furstman.
Condition of practically everybody in this room. Dandruff, bad toupee, roots are showing. It's a luxury I can do without. Now, given my height, I was kind of worried for my welfare in the days after 9/11, because I was one of the tallest things still standing in New York. The FAA established a no-fly zone around my head, and my lovers must have their bodies checked for explosives prior to intimacy. Now, people come up to me, especially women, and say, I wish I was your height. No, you don't. It's very tough being a very tall woman. Take clothing, for example. My denim shorts are jeans for most people. My shoes are houseboats with laces. And trying to fit into sexy lingerie means walking into the bedroom like Groucho Marx. Speaking of the bedroom, don't give me that bull about height not mattering when you're lying down. I'm sorry, it's like, well, if my lover is nibbling on my calves, I'm so long lengthwise I have to tweak them to let them know it's time for something else. I only have 140 characters to say, honey, time to move up, No, you're not gonna fall. Pull yourself up with the ropes and the clamps. You'll be fine. I come from the tournament Scrabble scene, and one thing for sure is that Scrabblers are obsessed about the game like crossword people are about their game. True story, my mother went for gallbladder surgery. The day of the surgery, I got there late. They had already taken her downstairs. I was a bit flip-flipped. I think we all know what that means. I called my friend Raj, she came over with her Scrabble board, we set it up on a tray table. They rolled my mother back in about an hour later. I was actually perturbed because the game was just getting interesting. I had half a mind to tell them, are you sure she's okay? I think I see a suture loose over there. What do you think, another 2-3 hours in the OR? Yeah, it could work. And Scrabble's love to anagram. I'm sure you've heard this before. For example, Diane Furstman anagrams to a darn feminist. Did you know that Ellen Ripstein anagrams to Leninist leper? Doug Hoylman turns into the phrase, old man, old guy. And Howard Barkin turns into bra handiwork. Now, I mentioned my mother. She's got her own website. Maybe you've seen it, www.jewishguilt.com. She's invented her own cottage industry, e-nagging. Go to the site and see this big banner headline. My daughter hasn't visited me in 27 days, 20 hours, 7 minutes, and 10 seconds, 11 seconds, 12 seconds. While it's counting that up, it's counting my inheritance down. Now I owe her $7,000. She's even gone so far as to install her own webcam. You know, there's nothing quite like the sight of a senior citizen in a terry cloth robe with a tall glass of prune juice struggling to open 6 prescriptions pill bottles while she's shouting on the phone to Medicare. Oh, no, come on. It is funny. I can see. Do we have any cartoon fans in the house? I think, well, I'm here to report that they've updated the peanut cartoons. They're going to make them much more topical and up-to-date. In one of them, Charlie Brown once again lands flat on his back after Lucy pulls the football away from him. He gets sent to the ER and is denied service, and the heartwarming tale, it's your stupid HMO, Charlie Brown. And another, Charlie Brown walks into a jewelry store to find Peppermint Patty and Marcy buying commitment rings in a Charlie Brown Gay Pride Day. And speaking of Gay Pride, they finally settled this whole hubbub about don't ask, don't tell. Lesbians will be allowed to be out in the military, but only if their straight male counterparts can watch. So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about earwax. Yes, you heard me. Earwax. That thing can cause hearing difficulties, ear pain, and an infant can produce a cry not unlike that heard in Celine Dion concert. Yes, that earwax. First of all, why does our body produce it in the first place? All other bodily functions, you have to put something in to get something out. You eat, therefore you poop. You inhale pollen, therefore you blow your nose. Earwax, I don't remember ingesting anything to produce this stuff. I think my ears are having snacks while I'm sleeping. When I was a child, my mother got me to clean my ears by telling me I had sweet potatoes in there. By that logic, I figured I must have tiny migrant earwax farm workers in there working with a tiny Cesar Chavez protesting for their rights. Ms. Firstman, the men have been harvesting that wax in your dark and hot canal for days on end. One of them fell into your tympanic membrane and asphyxiated himself. What are you going to do about it? Now, I must have very shy earwax because nothing I do ever works. It just waits and waits and then turns into a scene from Bonanza. You hear this low rumble and it gets louder and louder and you're thinking, earwax stampede. And of course, you're trying to remain all calm and cool because you're in a meeting, you're on a date, you know, you don't want to think they don't want you to think you have a nervous tick or something. So you're trying to like casually get it. It ends up squishing it against your ear and you have to make up some phony excuse like, it's a birthmark? It's a very delayed birthmark. Well, maybe not. But switching gears for a moment. Have you ever had a conversation with a friend where they said, don't take this the wrong way, but? themselves the opportunity to insult you without really feeling guilt. I mean, their statement could be something mundane like, don't take this the wrong way, but I never liked you in that shirt. It's usually something a bit more acerbic like, don't take this the wrong way, but I always thought you were dumber than a bag of rocks. At that point, I expect you to respond with something equally tactful, like, don't take this the wrong way, but your husband is awful in bed. I'd like to make an announcement. I got a Dear Diane letter. Yeah, I know. You're all broken up about that. Yeah, it's true. It wouldn't have been so bad, except I wasn't actually dating anybody at the time. Turns out the letter was from my vibrator. It wanted to see other women. And I should have known something was up when, I found that it had an account on eHarmony and a Facebook page with people I've never even met. All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Seen many times on the New York stage performing both musical theater and vaudeville, which are in fact different. They write, really? It's true. Please remember Loren Lambert's name because it will be a theme entry in all 7 puzzles at next year's tournament. And now a big welcome, please, for Brooklyn's own Loren Lambert.
Turn. today, especially since I don't have any thematic material, but I have a lot of crazy ideas. Some of my ideas are so crazy, I only confide the details in my best friend. I call him Woody. People sometimes cluck their tongues at me. Oh, they think I can be very unrealistic, but, you know, we've all got our hopes and dreams and desires, and we should stick to them. Baby, dream your dream. Close your eyes and try it. Dream of furniture. Dream that I can buy it.
Ginsburg.
the old days, the tournament was all done by every year we typed the names and everything was done by hand. And now it's all in a computer database, and thanks to Joe Cabrera. Joe? The person who conducts the online crossword tournament is Peter Rittmeister, all the way from Amsterdam. Peter? Our photographer for 31 years is Don Christensen. The name tags has for many years been done by Mike Shang. Mike, please stand up. And there's too many officials to name by name, but thank you so much, all of you who collect papers and mark papers, judges, officials, and you stand up. Thank you. And now to announce the prizes is somebody you know, I believe. He's the director of Wordplay, which was filmed 5 years ago. 2005, released in 2006. He's also the director of IOUSA, and here to announce the winners is Patrick Creedon.
Hi, everybody. I'm thrilled to be doing this. This is a real honor.